Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Harris Cherokee Resort. Find us online at caesars.com/harris-cherokee.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Obviously, quarterback has been a hot topic for Georgia on the heels of the loss to Alabama on Saturday, and many wondered when Kirby Smart spoke to reporters on Tuesday what he might say about the situation regarding his incumbent starter, Stetson Bennett, the possible former five-star, high-profile transfer, JT Daniels, waiting in the wings. There were predictions that Smart would do like he typically does and not say very much, and I would say for the most part, those predictions came true. Smart held his words very close to the vest. He was very careful about what he said, and he revealed very little. But sometimes in situations like this, what is not said is just as important as what is said. And if you want to make sense about the Georgia quarterback situation right now, why it is that JT Daniels is not more a part of this conversation, why someone who we heard a lot about when he made the move to Georgia, national media attention in a very big way upon his arrival, why that's gone quiet within the Georgia program right now? Well, the absence of words from Smart speaks just as loudly as the presence of some of his words. There was a very direct question to Smart yesterday about what's the difference between medically cleared, which JT Daniels we've been told is, and actually being ready and able to play. Kirby Smart answered that question, and I want you to see if you notice what he doesn't say. This is Smart on JT Daniels.
Medically cleared is saying that he can go out and get tackled and play football. It's unique to that position because you don't, the quarterback doesn't go live. I mean, maybe in fall camp some, but he doesn't go live until real game time. And then everything else is revolved around who we think gives us the best chance to win. And that's ultimately the decision you have. Toughest thing is getting enough reps once you're down the road of being able to get guys prepared for game. You can't prepare 3 and 4 quarterbacks to play in a game. You just don't get enough time to do that.
Kirby Smart saying that we don't have enough time to get multiple quarterbacks ready. All we can do is take Smart at his word on this. He's not obligated to tell the truth, but what choice would we have other than to take that seriously? That if he's medically cleared to play, but it sounds like Kirby Smart and the ongoing evaluation is he's not sure quite yet if he's actually ready to do that. I think we have to take that seriously. And for some people who've kind of wondered over the course of the last few days why I've been saying the things that I've been saying and talking about the Georgia quarterback situation the way that I have been, I think that is evidence of that. Let me show you a tweet that I got from someone recently on the heels of me kind of defending Stetson Bennett and his performance more after Saturday, even though clearly quarterback play is one of the things that led to the Georgia loss on Saturday. Brian Jones writes on Twitter, he says, "BA, I don't understand why you are being such an apologist for Stetson Bennett. He was 18 for 40 in the game. He threw 3 picks. Had all these batted balls. Come on," Brian Jones says. And I don't think that's an unfair question to ask. You know, Georgia fans want to beat Alabama. Georgia fans spent the entirety of the offseason believing that this was a year in which that was possible. I will fully acknowledge that I contributed to that conversation, the notion that this could be the year that Georgia wins in Tuscaloosa. This could be the year that Georgia wins in the SEC championship. This could be the year that all that stuff happens. And yet, lo and behold, Alabama has developed a quarterback in Mac Jones, gotten far more out of him thus far than anyone would have thought was possible on that. Georgia, on the other hand, is scuffling at the quarterback position. But the reason why I'm not going to put all of the blame on the feet of Stetson Bennett after Saturday is because when you look at all the negative drama that Georgia's experienced as a position and over the course of like the last year and a half or so, the transfer out of Justin Fields, the departure of Jake Fromm in kind of unusual circumstances after his junior season, the opt-out of Jamie Newman, in a weird way, it's kind of amazing to me that George is actually performing at the quarterback spot as well as it has for most of this season. A total and unmitigated disaster for George at quarterback? That was an absolute possibility on the heels of the way that all of this has played out over the course of the last year and a half. But Stetson Bennett, for the most part, has prevented that from happening. Stetson Bennett, on the most part, has kind of held all of that potential disaster at bay. And I think he deserves some credit for that. Now, it sounds like Brian, the commenter there, or the responder on Twitter, does not view Bennett as a quarterback capable of beating Alabama, and that may prove to be true. But here's the unfortunate point. If Bennett is not good enough to do that, and by the way, through the first half on Saturday, it seemed like he might be. But if Bennett is not good enough to do that, well, then it may be possible that Georgia doesn't have anyone on the roster who's capable of getting that done. It's at least a possibility. I mean, when you think about JT Daniels' role in all of this as well, I mean, it's time to start, you know, asking the question of, is maybe JT Daniels not playing simply because he's not ready? There was a guy who brought this up. Former Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray was being interviewed on one of the Sirius XM radio shows. Do we have the Murray audio? Can we play that? Let's listen to Aaron Murray maybe saying to some Georgia fans something they don't want to hear, but something that we should at least consider as a possibility. Here is Murray on JT Daniels.
For those that have been just clamoring to get JT in the ball game, you know, there's something going on. You know, that these coaches aren't just hiding JT in a closet and just trying to piss fans off by not playing him. I mean, if he was the best quarterback, he would be out there, and he actually would be the number two guy in case something happened to Stetson. But, you know, as of right now, Dwan has been the number two guy.
Yeah.
And Georgia's had a couple blowouts. You know, obviously, you go back to the game versus Tennessee. Auburn was, you know, well in hand there in the fourth quarter. So you would think if they wanted to get JT an opportunity to play and get some reps, they would have put him in those two games to see what he can do. So the fact that he's not gotten any reps, the fact that it seems like Dwan is the number two guy, if something did happen to Stetson, maybe he's not fully healthy, even though he was cleared, or maybe he's just not that good. So, you know, like I said, these coaches get paid a lot of money. They know what they're doing. Todd Monken's a great offensive coordinator. If he was the guy, and if he was that good, he would be playing.
So I think that's really interesting from Aaron Murray, really pulling no punches back, and I don't quite know what to make of that either. I mean, listen, it is entirely possible that all of this over the course of the next couple of weeks leads to this miraculous October football surprise where JT Daniels have been waiting the wings all along and Kirby Smart's ready to spring him on Florida or whoever else and then get him ready for a rematch against Alabama in the SEC championship. That's entirely possible. But for Georgia fans who think that's the most likely outcome in all of this, I think that might be too much wishful thinking. I think Kirby Smart, given every opportunity to open the door for JT Daniels yesterday, kind of chose not to do that and did not use health as the reason why. Maybe he's downplaying the health situation that Daniels is dealing with, but at a certain point, you're kind of forced to take him at his word. And Georgia fans, even though the words of the former quarterback Aaron Murray come across as a little bit harsh, maybe there's at least some need to consider the possibility that a portion of what Murray just said there might be true, that for whatever reason, whether it be because at one point in time he was too hurt to practice enough to be ready now, that JT Daniels just isn't a legitimate option to save Georgia in games like Alabama where it seems like the play of the quarterback is of a heightened importance. I'll go back to the Rick Pitino thing before, the famous thing that he said when he was the Boston Celtics coach about Robert Parrish and the all-time greats in the Celtics organization, that those guys are not walking through that door. I think for Georgia fans right now, there has to be at least a attempt to come to peace with the notion of, at least for now, JT Daniels is not walking through that door for the Dogs. Is it because of his health? Is it because of the fact that he hasn't practiced as well as we might assume that a former five-star should play? None of us can know for sure, but ultimately the reason why might not really matter all that much. All that matters is that the team that Georgia has is the one that's on the field, and Dog fans have a choice of whether or not they want to support that version of UGA. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort, and we're glad to have you with us today. No matter how you get to us, live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Really appreciate our friends at Harris Cherokee Casino Resort for making all of this possible. You know, they've got two great locations. They're both 2 hours from Atlanta. You need a getaway right now. This is a great getaway for you. I love watching the video when we do this on Wednesdays because you see the beautiful mountains there of Western North Carolina. They wrap around the Harris Cherokee Casino Resort properties, whether it be the original Harris Cherokee Casino Resort or Harris Cherokee Valley River. Dining options, spa, gaming area, which has been enhanced to, you know, make social distancing more possible. Obviously, everyone thinking health and safety right now. Harris Cherokee doing that for you as well. And if you haven't become part of Caesars Rewards, you need to do that too. Go to Caesars.com/Harris-Cherokee. That's Caesars.com/Harris-Cherokee, and you can get a whole lot more on that. It'll be Mike Griffith here coming up in just a couple of minutes with him today. Before that, let's go around the doghouse, presented by our friends at Marco's Pizza. And I want to do more on the quarterback situation at Georgia, because there's something that I think I'm noticing right now that I don't think we've seen thus far in Kirby Smart's tenure going over the last couple of years. Smart yesterday, much like what happened on Saturday, really came to the defense of Stetson Bennett. He really, kind of backed up Bennett's play. Some of the things that fans have said they don't like about Bennett, Smart really kind of came to that defense a little bit yesterday. And some of the ways in which Smart speaks about this kind of heightens some of the tension that's out there on this. Let me let you hear a little bit more of Smart kind of evaluating Stetson Bennett in a way that's different than some fans have. Here's Kirby.
He made a couple bad decisions, and some of them didn't have to pay the dividend for him. He threw a couple balls that he shouldn't have thrown based on the coverage they gave us. But those weren't necessarily the ones that get picked. You know, I mean, sometimes you get batted balls, you get tipped, and they get picked. Sometimes you throw a ball, you know, he missed Jermaine over the middle a little bit there. It's a little bit out of his reach. You know, maybe Jermaine gets his hands on it more. It's just unfortunate they picked it. But the ones that don't get picked concern me more, where we throw into coverage, and we had a couple of those. So it's one of those things. He's done a really good job executing on third down. He's hit some guys that have dropped some balls on third down, but we've become a better third down team since he's been in there, and got to continue to improve on that. And everybody around him's got to continue to improve.
That's full-throated support of Kirby Smart for Stetson Bennett, even on the issue of the batted balls, where so many folks on Saturday just looked at the Bennett situation and say, oh, you've got a short quarterback. That's what leads to, what is it, 5 batted balls against Alabama on Saturday. Cut and dry situation. This is a guy that doesn't have the physical characteristics needed to win a game against Alabama. Smart even pushed back on some of that when he spoke to reporters yesterday, too. Worth hearing from Kirby again.
Height is not the greatest indicator of batted balls. His ability to use the pocket is, and a lot of that comes from experience. And he's gaining in the experience category. He's not elite in experience. He doesn't have a ton of it. We do a lot of drills in practice where we try to simulate pocket, and you have to step up and through it. I thought that's one of the things that Jake was really good at. He could feel the pocket opening and step up in the pocket and either, you know, run or make a throw. And we continue to work with Stetson on that. He's shown the ability to do that. He didn't always trust it Saturday, and he's got to do a good job. He's got good pass protectors around him.
So here's what I think is interesting, and what I said may be about to unfold with Kirby Smart in a way we haven't seen since Martin took the Georgia job in 2016. Listen, in the SEC, there are going to be good and bad things happen for every program, and Georgia's been no different. Georgia's dealt with its share of adversity over the course of the last couple of years, but fan reaction to that adversity has always been kind of like this. When something bad has happened, people, for the most part, have chosen to blame someone else other than Smart. There's usually someone. Sometimes it's a player, sometimes it's another assistant coach, whatever else. Something scapegoated, and Georgia fans have just not wanted to attach that blame to Kirby Smart. And listen, Kirby Smart's been an incredibly successful coach. He's a Georgia alumnus. UGA fans have all the reason in the world to love Kirby, but their love for Kirby, I believe, has prevented them from blaming anything that's happened at Georgia on Kirby Smart. But I sort of get the impression that this is about to be a little bit different. Smart's full-throated praise of Bennett there and the belief that Smart furthered yesterday that he's choosing Bennett over a healthy Daniels right now to be Georgia's starting quarterback is putting the spotlight actually on Smart himself, and that if the rest of the season does not go well, if Georgia somehow doesn't win the East, or if it doesn't get a chance to have a rematch with Alabama, or if the rematch with Alabama goes very much the same way that the first one did, all of a sudden, it's not an offensive coordinator who gets scapegoated or a position group, players that get scapegoated. There'll be a finger of blame pointed towards Kirby Smart. Now, that doesn't mean that Georgia fans are going to start calling for his job or anything like that. We're decades away from that being any kind of, you know, discussion, and it'll likely never come. But in terms of where the blame goes, Kirby Smart is owning this quarterback situation right now. What was the sign when you were a kid? You break it, you buy it. You know, Kirby Smart kind of owns this quarterback situation right now. And if it continues to go poorly or if it somehow gets worse as the season progresses, there'll be plenty of people who say that this is Smart's doing. Somehow whatever happened with Justin Fields, or not having someone ready to wait in the wings once Jake Fromm left, or whatever weirdness occurred with Jamie Newman over the course of the offseason. that this quarterback situation belongs to Smart himself. So pay attention to that as this narrative progresses. Smart has either made a brilliant choice by navigating the waters of an otherwise tumultuous situation, or he finds himself an outlier in comparison to other elite programs like Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, that seem to have the top flight quarterback. There's a lot of attention that will be placed on Smart as all of this progresses. It's Around the Doghouse, delivered today by our friends at Marco's Pizza, America's most beloved pizza. It's real, authentic pizza, made the Italian way, and they got so many different great specialty pizza options for you to consider. If you haven't done these before, whether it be the deluxe, the garden, the all-meat pizza, you can get this cooked to a golden crust, or there's a really cool new thing. It's a no-crust and a new specialty pizza bowl. That sounds like a really good thing, especially for those of you that want to avoid the carbs and the bread and things like that. Really good choice there for Marco's Pizza. It's also served up in a 450-degree oven, which means that it's health and safety conscious, touchless, contactless, delivered right there to your door. It's about time you settled in and enjoyed yourself some Marco's Pizza. A couple different ways to do that. Online at Marcos.com. That's Marcos.com. Or you can use the Marco's app as well. That's a great way to order, too. We appreciate Marco's Pizza delivering Around the Doghouse to us here today. All right, bumpy start, but we are off and running now. The most common question I've gotten from Georgia fans all week is related to something that Mike Griffith wrote over the weekend. So that's a good place for us to start with him. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. It's good to have all of you with us as well.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
All right, we'll say hello to Mike Griffith much later than we anticipated taking him. Hopefully we've communicated with him about our issues, but good to have Mike with us here today. And Mike, I know you were a part of the Kirby Smart press conference yesterday where Smart used a bunch of words. He had ultimately said very little about the quarterback situation in the aftermath of the Alabama game. What did you think about that?
I love it. He was scrambling, man. I mean, look, Kirby doesn't know what direction he's going to go. And he said enough to make you think he's ready to make a change, pointing out that Stetson threw some passes into coverage that he was more upset about than the three interceptions. And then he also told us that height didn't matter. Based on NFL numbers, you know, being tall. I mean, come on. Now, if you're 5'10" instead of 6'3", you're at a disadvantage. Let's stop pretending that's not a disadvantage to be smaller in the NFL. Of course it's a disadvantage. Yes, there are ways around it if you can step up and through the pocket. I understand what Kirby was saying. What Kirby was saying is, hey, we can win with Stetson Bennett. But he also said that this is the week where Dwan and JT Daniels would be getting some repetition. And when he was asked point blank, is Stetson still your starter, he did not answer that question. He said, I feel great about Stetson. But then he talked about the things that he wasn't so feeling great about. So you're right, BA, it was a bunch of words. It was a bunch of coach speak, to quote Kirby himself. But the reality of it is it was Tuesday at noon, and he hadn't seen his guy work. He wants to see He's going to have to see what happens Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week.
So I want to come back to this in a moment, because I think that your evaluation of that might have been a little bit different than mine. But let me go to something from the weekend, because this is probably the question I've been asked the most about over the course of the last couple of days. And this is not the first time you've reported this, but I guess it just got more attention this time around, the assertion that JT Daniels was, I want to make sure I use the words you use, so please correct me if I don't say what you said, but beating out Jamie Newman in a battle of kind of, you know, first team reps versus first team reps, and that was the reason that Jamie Newman opted out. I guess the question a lot of Georgia fans have, and Mike, and I want you to make sure you clarify the language, to make sure I said it the way that you want it said, because you're the one that wrote it. But the question a lot of Georgia fans have is, how could that be true when it seems like Daniels is playing and we're led to believe even practicing so little since then, at least in terms of first team reps and things along those lines? How could what we've seen with our eyes be true and what you wrote on Saturday also be true as well?
Right. Well, you remember at the start of fall camp, Stetson Bennett wasn't in the picture. I mean, and Kirby said the reason why he wasn't getting those reps was because they knew what he could do, because they've seen so much of him in 2019 in practices as Jake Fromm's primary backup. He was number two all year. So Kirby said, we know what he can do. And so if you're Jamie Newman, picture this, you transfer to Georgia and all of a sudden there's the USC quarterback is on campus with you, and all of a sudden he's splitting the first team reps. This is what we know from Kirby Smart, is that now there's that both of these guys are getting work with the first team. And what you know is in that first scrimmage, things didn't go as well as you had hoped they would go. And the forest can be seen for the trees, because JT Daniels does have command of pro-style offense. I mean, JT Daniels is a polished, experienced quarterback who's been to hell and back at USC with three different play callers and a porous offensive line and a bad center, and still managed to have three 300-yard games and look good when he had protection. So this is a very accomplished guy who's been playing in a system that's very comparable to what Todd Monken has brought. If you're Jamie Newman, you didn't have spring drills. You had Zoom calls. That's all you had. And you're trying to learn this stuff. You're trying to get comfortable in an offense that they've just brought somebody in who's vastly more experienced in. So if you're Newman, there's no reason to stick around amid COVID when you're no longer assured you're going to be the guy. And after scrimmage one, there were some, from what I learned, it did not go as well for Jamie Newman as Jamie had hoped, and he was letting know that. And it appeared, as Kirby said more than once, they thought JT was going to be cleared for the opener. That was the presumption that Georgia was under as they continued to work JT with the one. Once he failed the test with his knee, they realized they had to get somebody else ready for that opening game against Arkansas. Okay, because that was going to be a game time to say, well, you got to prepare a week and a half in advance. So enter Dwan Mathis and Stetson Bennett, because you know that JT Daniels isn't going to be cleared for the opener. So they get these two guys ready. Dwan falters. He had six offensive series, didn't move the ball. And they found something with Stetson. Stetson moved the ball. Stetson was effective. The offense came to life. Stetson was a team guy. The vibe, the chemistry, it all felt right. Well, you've got to continue to work Stetson with the ones so he gets better, because you're catching up now. He's trying to get repetitions with the receivers. He's trying to get a better feel with Monken. Because remember, in the offseason, he really was number four. That's not manufactured. All right? So you got to get this guy up to speed. So you don't have time to give JT Daniels work. You don't really have that much time for even Dwan Mathis, because Bennett's your guy, and you know that. And I believe there was a plan that they're going to ride with Bennett until bye week and then reevaluate. And I think that's where we're at right now. And Kirby even said that, BA. He said it's hard, you know, to get the reps that you need and the looks that you need to be able to compete for the position once the season has started. And that was something that Kirby Smart said. And I think that's where JT found himself. The knee's been getting better. The knee brace has come off. And now I think this week you've got open competition.
Okay, so I don't want to get too tedious with this, but I do think this matters. It's very easy for me to believe that Newman was frustrated that he wasn't being treated by the starter, and therefore he chose to leave. But the thing that remains confusing is how it could have been Daniels that was the one that was making him feel that way, given the fact that everything we've seen since in their own eyes would lead us to believe that right now JT Daniels isn't even the number two quarterback. You can base that on pregame warmups. You can base that on just the general rumor and innuendo that kind of comes out of practice. That somehow Daniels was healthy enough to once push Newman, but in the aftermath of that, not healthy enough to push anybody. That's the thing that I think to a lot of our audience doesn't make any sense.
I agree, and it has to do with how the repetitions are divided up in practice. It doesn't necessarily have to do with performance. It has to do with how Kirby divides the repetition in practice, and there's got to be an element of fairness to that. And I don't think you can just pull the plug from Dwan Mathis after six series and say, okay, you're not even getting second-team reps. No, I don't think you can do that. Dwan Mathis has been on campus for a year. Dwan Mathis has paid his dues. You've got to give this kid an opportunity to get the work. That's why he came to Georgia, was for the opportunity, right? And JT Daniels had those opportunities and was doing fine, but he wasn't ready to play. So now it's put JT Daniels on the shelf, and because if something goes wrong with Stetson, you know, you've got to have somebody else ready to put in. So give Dwan those reps and give him an opportunity. But again, now it's the bye week. Now you hit the reset button. Now everybody gets to work. And that's what Kirby Smart said. I'm reporting what Kirby Smart is telling you and explaining, you know, why JT wasn't getting more work, according to Kirby Smart. And Kirby Smart's quote is, you know, something effective, you know, he'll be a factor when he's healthy, or he'll be an option when he's healthy. Something to that effect. I don't have that exact quote, but it was never that JT Daniels was not good and they were done with him. That would have been a bad assumption for anyone to make. It was the guy's knee wasn't ready. He needs to get ready. He needs to get confidence in his knee. He needs to feel good about the knee, because once you put JT Daniels in, you're probably not looking back.
Well, I'll see him on the field before I make any kind of determination about that. But in terms of...
to be fair here, this is where I've got an advantage, because I did see 30 minutes of a scrimmage. And I did see what the guy can do. And he does get through his progressions quickly. And he pivots quickly. And he's sure about his throws. And he does have a big arm. Those are the things that I was able to see. And I was able to see Dwan as well. And Dwan didn't get through his progressions as quickly. Now, it was just 30 minutes at the end of, I believe, scrimmage two, the one before the boosters were let in. It was quite by happenstance from the bridge. So that's where I have an advantage. And I understand that you want to see this guy for yourself before you make those assumptions. Because it is hard to imagine that they could have an NFL quarterback on the sideline and still be playing Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, I mean, especially in light of the audio that I played to start the show here today, where, you know, Smart yesterday given a chance to continue to talk about health in relationship to JT Daniels. Smart didn't do that yesterday. You know, Smart did talk about some of the things you alluded to, but the fact that, that you can only, you know, kind of prepare one quarterback at a time or whatever else, that apparently you're left to believe that JT Daniels' current position on the depth chart, whatever it might be, is related to at least something other than his health. I thought Smart, by omission, if nothing else, made that a little bit clearer yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I didn't hear anything about the health of JT, but it's definitely the comfort. You know, he did say, what's the difference between being cleared and playing a guy in a game? I think JT failing the knee test is what put him behind, and Kirby's got to go with what he's got. The last thing you want is another quarterback in and out situation. In Stetson, I thought capitalized. You know, I thought he played well against Auburn in the first half. I thought he played well, against Tennessee, particularly in the second half. You know, but as I look at this and I see eight halves of football that Georgia has played in four different games, they have failed to score a touchdown in three of those eight halves. They've been inconsistent. They're not a good red zone team. They've had red zone issues. If you look where they rank in the SEC, it's near the bottom. Stetson's completion percentage is near the bottom. He has his limitations. What he does well. I think Kirby likes the mobility. I know he likes the moxie. He's a savvy kid. He doesn't get rattled. You can see that. But I think defenses have caught up, BA. And I think that's why it's going to be going into the next game against Kentucky. I wouldn't be surprised if Stetson still starts, but I would be surprised if we didn't see JT Daniels in some form or fashion if his knee is healthy.
Yeah, listen, that's just a level of confidence that I can't I would need some sort of evidence to suggest that Daniels is on his way to being able to play, just given how deafeningly silent, to use kind of a paradox, but deafeningly silent it's been related to Daniels. I just can't be of the belief that he's about to kick in the door and come in and save the season. And if you want to say in a game like Alabama, Stetson Bennett might not be a quarterback good enough to win that game, obviously I'd have to acknowledge that on the basis of what we saw on Saturday. But Mike, one of the things that I don't know that I think you're giving enough credit to here in regards to Bennett is, I think Georgia would have lost a game before Alabama had it not been for Stetson Bennett. When you look at the potential disastrous quarterback situation that Georgia's faced with Justin Fields transferring, Jake Fromm weirdly leaving after his junior season, Jamie Newman opting out, you know, Georgia had the risk of having a quarterback disaster. And thus far, Stetson Bennett has kind of prevented that from happening. On that issue, I think Bennett actually deserves some credit. And really, on Saturday for the first half of this game, he was throwing, you know, haymakers right there with Mac Jones. Obviously, the second half doesn't end well. But I think Bennett actually deserves some credit for the fact that Georgia's in a position where he can even earn a rematch with Alabama, because absent him, I don't even believe that'd be a possibility.
Yeah, oh, no question. He beat two ranked teams, although I don't know if we think Auburn and Tennessee are really top 25 teams now, but they were when they played him. And he didn't have any interceptions through the first three games. He was the only quarterback. You know, there was some drop. There was some thrown into coverage. But to that point, you're right, BA. I thought Stetson played really well. And for a guy that had to sit and marinate as long as he did to come out, you know, playing the way he played, to show the poise, to show the leadership, to rally the team, to get the buy-in from the teammates. That was all great. I'm going to stop short of saying throwing haymakers with Mac Jones, because Stetson arm ends at about 35 yards. You know, the pass to James Cook was layered. It was a beautiful throw, about 32 yards. They found a great matchup. Monken had set up Cook against a linebacker, and Stetson threw an incredible pass. And, you know, Cook took it the last 51 yards to the house. But the problem is, when defense is diagnosed you can't throw the deep out, they start dropping that safety down. And they start playing tighter coverage. And they say, you know what? Let's double cover Kiara Jackson, which is what they did. And let's see what happens. And what happens is you get a true freshman with 11 targets who only catches four, drops a touchdown pass, and has another one go off his hands for an interception. So I think teams have caught up to this Stetson Bennett show, is what I'm saying. Now, are they going to be good enough offensively to move it on Georgia? I doubt it. Do I think Stetson could beat Kentucky? Yes. Do I think Stetson could beat Florida? Yes. Do I think he could win out against the schedule? Yes. Do I think he could beat Alabama in a shootout? Absolutely not. And so you've got to ask yourself, if you're Georgia, what you're playing for. And ultimately, if JT is the guy that gives you the higher ceiling, just like if Kendall Milton is the running back that gives you the higher ceiling, do I think Zamir White is good? Yes, I think he's good. Do I think he's great? No, I do not. Do I think Kendall Milton could be great? Yes. So we're not talking about guys that aren't good. We're talking about Georgia needing great to win championships and needing to play some other guys. Because what we saw against Alabama, if you play that game 10 times, B.A., Alabama's going to win it 8 times.
So let me just finish with this, and I don't mean to circle back on something we've kind of already hit, but I do think this is where you and I maybe are not quite on the same page. I agree with you that if JT Daniels is fully healthy, fully ready to go, been humming along at practice, obviously Kirby Smart would be facing a tough choice right now, right? I mean, you know, Daniels does have a year's worth of Power 5 starting experience. But I just haven't seen anything, including anything that Kirby Smart said yesterday, that leads me to believe that, I keep using the Rick Pitino phrase, that JT Daniels is walking through that door. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. All of a sudden, he puts the Superman cape on and he, you know, swoops in and saves the day. But you're just a lot more confident that that's going to happen than I am. As of right now, I have to be open to the possibility that JT Daniels just might not play.
Yeah, no, sure. I think again, it's understandable. And based on what we know and what we've seen, it is puzzling and curious. There's a lot of parts of the story that haven't been divulged because there's a lot of politics in every quarterback room, frankly, and how Kirby manages these quarterbacks is under the microscope. And you've got to have an element of fairness, and you've got to have an element of upholding the promises that you make to recruits and players. But it's game four. And everybody's had their turn now. Everybody's had a chance. And if Alabama can hand the ball to Najee Harris 31 times and not worry about what the other running back's feelings feel like, then it's high time Georgia can do the same. I understand it's easier as a position coach to make sure everybody gets a turn. But we're talking big-time football here, man. And Alabama made sure that their three best players, Najee Harris, Devontae Smith, and Jalen Waddle, those guys, B.A., two-thirds of the plays were drawn up for them. They weren't worried about giving somebody a chance or what's fair or what. Look, they were there to win a football game. They knew who they were. Alabama knows their identity. Their best players are all. It's not a matter of, well, this other guy deserves it. He's worked hard. This other guy, when it's his time, he'll get a chance. No, you put the best players on the field. And that's what this bye week gives you the chance to do. You did what you thought was best coming out of fall camp. You gave people an opportunity when you had opportunities to give them opportunities. But now it's time to hit the reset button. There's zero margin for error if this Georgia team is to win the SEC championship. And make no mistake about it, if Georgia doesn't win the SEC championship this season, it's a disappointment. Because this defense is championship caliber. Regardless of what you saw the other night, it got away from them. I believe the defense will do much better the second time they face Alabama, provided they win out, which I think they will. But there's no margin for error, B.A.
But I
understand why you would have doubts and questions. But to me, the doubts and the questions, it's up to Kirby Smart and his staff this week to figure it out and get the best guys on the field.
All right, but who's not playing that's the best guy on the field? That's what I'm confused about
Kendall
right now.
Kendall Milton should be getting more than six carries. Kendall Milton should be getting more than six carries. I'll say it one more time. Kendall Milton should be getting more than six carries. Kenny McIntosh had an injury the other night. He should have more touches. Trey McKitty had one target. One. Trey McKitty, Florida State tight end, future NFL tight end. One target. What Alabama did and did well was they got the ball to their guy. When you talk to Georgia and they go, why didn't you get the ball to this guy or this guy? Kirby said, well, the defense takes that away. Really? Because you didn't take away Devontae Smith, and you didn't take away Jalen Waddle, and you didn't take away Najee Harris. So what are those coaches doing that you're not doing to get your best players the ball? That's what I want to know.
Well, that's certainly a relevant topic because clearly Alabama's feeding Devontae and Waddle all night long. I think you give credit to Steve Sarkisian for that, and I guess the rest of this we'll wait and see how it plays out. Mike, thanks for being here on the program today. We'll look forward to reading a bunch more from you at DogNation.com, and we'll follow this story wherever it goes.
We'll hear a bunch more words, B.A. That's what we'll do.
That's exactly right, with very little meaning, probably. Thanks, Mike.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
I'm going to get more into this in a moment. Actually, let me just say this because, you know, the notion that somehow Stetson Bennett is playing because of some sort of misguided sense of loyalty, I think there's obviously verifiable proof that's not true. We will talk more about that when we're done, and we'll hear more from Kirby Smart on the topic of all of this in the program here today. Before we do our SEC Through, let me give you just a reminder. If you go to DogNation.com, up there at the top of the page, you can find out more about our Dog Nation Ultimate Fan Contest, courtesy of Kroger. Someone's going to win a big Kroger gift card here. That's a fun thing to think about. It's like $500. Also, we're giving away a bunch of these Dog Nation branded masks. That's something you're going to want to check out there, too. We're also coming to the final days of the submissions. We're about to start voting for who is the Dog Nation Ultimate Fan. We've gotten a bunch of these. We want to hit a few more hard, give you a big chance to kind of get in on this before it's done. So please go to DogNation.com. Show us why you should be Dog Nation's Ultimate Fan. You could win a $500 gift card courtesy of Kroger. You could win one of these Kroger Dog Nation branded masks. We've had a great time road games this year. We've been passing a lot of these out. There's a guy that actually came up to me in Bryant Denny Stadium on Saturday. He said, B.A., you got one of those Kroger masks? And sure enough, I had one in my pocket. I was able to give it out. I kind of felt like the old game show hosts like Monty Hall and Bob Barker. I'm dating myself on this. They always seem to have prizes in their pocket. I was able to pull out the mask and give it away there. So that was a lot of fun to be able to do. All right. SEC Through for now. Let's do some recruiting stuff here for a moment because there's some news that's out there. Let me start with Xavien Sory, linebacker out of the state of Florida. He gives us a little bit of a hint here. He says commitment coming soon. This has been thought to be a battle that Georgia's involved in. I would say that Florida is probably in the mix for Sory's services. I know that Sory has talked about the Gators on social media a little bit. The timeline on all this is kind of interesting, too, in that there has been a little bit of increased online chatter as of late about another linebacker prospect for Georgia in the class of 2021, that's Smile Mondon. It would seem that the Auburn folks have kind of waved the white flag on Auburn's pursuit of Mondon. They were a real player in this for a while. They don't seem to be as much anymore because the turmoil that program is dealing with. More on that in a moment. And so in the aftermath of that, maybe the path for Mondon to Georgia has now been cleared a little bit. Now, this is obviously rampant, total, reckless speculation, but you wonder if somehow the accelerated announcement there from Xavien Sory is somehow related to the fact that Smile Mondon, seems to kind of have a recruiting process that's kind of clearing itself up maybe a little bit. We'll obviously just have to watch that to see, but it's interesting to hear that Sory's getting close at a time in which, some of the folks who know the Auburn side of things pretty well seem to think that Mondon's relationship with the Tigers might be fizzling just a little bit. So let's watch that, see where it goes. However, Sory not the only recruit right now who's hinting at an announcement. Kamari Lassiter, good-looking defensive back from Tuscaloosa, says he's going to be committing on Thursday evening. He says, everyone is welcome. Please wear your mask. Obviously a smart thing to do in a socially distanced time. This is a guy that Georgia has been seemingly involved in the entire time. I really don't have a lot of insight into where Lassiter's going or what he's doing, but I would say on Thursday, that's probably an announcement worth paying attention to. I know that Jeff will have more on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger tonight on whether or not, Georgia's a major player for Laster and what to expect when it comes to the Sory battle and everything else. But Laster's announcement on Thursday, Sory hinting at an announcement, a little bit of recruiting news to kind of pay attention to. Speaking of Auburn, it seems like if you follow the Auburn message boards right now, and this is obviously a yearly occurrence, so maybe you take this with a grain of salt, but it certainly seems like the chatter around Gus Malzahn potentially being on the hot seat is starting to intensify. And there's always, it's always true when you know, things are going bad for a program, all of a sudden these whispers start coming out. Like, the one thing I'm a big believer in, you can see this in the Georgia program all the time, all of the supposed insiders. Have you ever noticed that bad news never breaks? The only inside information that anyone ever gives is good news. It's all, you know, it's always something that people want to hear. It kind of goes to the information vacuum that we talk about all the time. Bad news only breaks when a coach is in trouble or things are kind of going the wrong way. Then all of a sudden, people feel a little more emboldened to go public with information they're not happy about. One of the things, apparently some folks, I think maybe parents of the Auburn players not happy, but I believe it's 24/7 Sports that reported this, is that Auburn, as a way of saving money on some of its trips, has been flying to games but driving back. They flew to Columbia last Saturday, but they bused from Columbia back to Auburn and going to Oxford this week, which, by the way, is not one of the closer SEC venues. Way up there in North Mississippi, that's a little bit of a haul from Auburn. That they were going to fly to Oxford, but they were going to bus back home. I believe it's about 6 hours from Oxford back to the Plains there on that. Well, they've kind of gone public with this, kind of complaining about this, and I guess now they've kind of changed their mind. They've said they're not going to do that anymore, and it just kind of speaks to that there's a little bit of unrest there right now, and there's some financial problems that all of a sudden, from a football standpoint, Auburn looking to save money where it can, which leads you to wonder, can you buy out not just Gus Malzahn and I want to say he may be $18 million buyout. I may be wrong on that, so y'all don't quote me. But maybe $18 million on the buyout for him. Once you start talking about the entirety of the assistants, now you're getting well into like the $20-plus million, you know, approaching $30 million, you know, tune for all those buyouts. Can Auburn even afford to do this? Now, this may be rendered moot by the fact that Auburn may win some games eventually, including on Saturday against Ole Miss. This is a season which I think you're going to see, you know, a lot of zigging and zagging, and a little bit of a gravitational pull towards that 5-5 number. So Malzahn may eventually win enough to save his job in a year in which, you know, buying out a coach is expensive anyway. But this is getting serious in terms of Auburn folks once again being pretty upset with Gus Malzahn. And then finally, there's this from Florida. After what was reported as a huge coronavirus outbreak last week, initially the report was 19 players testing positive. Now we're up to 31 players in addition to Dan Mullen. I think another assistant coach tested positive there as well. So Florida's completely shut down its football activities. They're obviously not playing this Saturday, hoping to get back on the field against Missouri 2 Saturdays from now, the same day that Georgia's playing Kentucky. But pretty significant number of players dealing with this at Florida. That is a lot for them to get under control. 31, I believe the number is here right now. So that is a little bit of a mess, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, so let me get back into this Georgia quarterback situation. It's obviously dominated the show today, but there's a lot to say about this. So as I was saying before, on the heels of the thing with Mike Griffith, you know, the notion that Kirby Smart is not playing someone like JT Daniels because of this sense of loyalty to Stetson Bennett. Oh, he's the starting quarterback, and you got to be careful about taking him out of the game. I don't see that being true. Just given the fact that I'm going to, you know, speak casually here for a moment, Georgia has, I'm going to use air quotes, disrespected Stetson Bennett like 15 different ways, right? I mean, he was only a walk-on when he first got here. Then they were slow to offer him a scholarship. He leaves to go somewhere else. All of a sudden, they decide they need him, so they drag him back. They put him on scholarship. CBS reported this year during, I forget if it was the Tennessee game or the Auburn game, that the Georgia coaches essentially told him they didn't view him as a starting quarterback-level player. So this notion that Georgia's got this misguided sense of loyalty when it comes to Stetson Bennett and treating him like the starting quarterback, this is not a Jake Fromm who took Georgia to a national championship in his freshman season, and maybe Georgia did feel a sense of loyalty to Fromm because he was the entrenched starter. Bennett has not been that, and if anything, Bennett had to fight just to even get a scholarship offer at a place like Georgia. So, you know, Georgia has evaluated Bennett harshly before. To think that they wouldn't do that now if they didn't think that he gave them the best chance of winning, that's just ignoring. And I don't think Georgia's wrong for the way it's treated Bennett, but if you are Bennett, I'm sure you're like, man, it's hard to get some love around this program. Treated like a walk-on, then allowed to leave, and, you know, everything else. You know, Bennett's like, if this is what loyalty is, I'm not quite so sure loyalty is all that it's cracked up to be. So I don't think that's what it's about. And as far as what's going to go on with quarterbacks here this week, in the next 2 weeks leading up the game against Kentucky, Kirby Smart certainly did not offer much on that topic. This is Kirby again from yesterday.
During a game week, we get ones, I would say 70-80% of the reps, twos, 20-30% of the reps, but then our threes get a lot of reps during the week because they go against the other units. This week, we'll get to get a lot of guys to reps. JT will get reps. Dewan will get reps. Stetson will continue to get reps. I mean, we try to develop our roster, and it's the way we look at it. So, it doesn't change. It just gives us a chance to give more guys work and see where they are in their progress. And that's true at every position, including quarterback.
So let me tell you what I take from that. And maybe I'm wrong, but here's what I take. Is that if you're talking about a limited number of reps in practice, and Kirby Smart just kind of gave you the dividing line on all of that, that's a small sample size to actually earn a position switch, right? I mean, it just seems unlikely that as the number three quarterback, you're going to play well in like a limited number of snaps to say, you know what, we're going to change our depth chart on all of it. It almost seems like as a coach, you have to open your mind up to that possibility going into a week and kind of expand those opportunities for a true position switch to emerge. And there is nothing that Smart said yesterday that would lead you to believe that is what George is going to do. Now, if Smart was going to do that, he'd probably keep it secret. But certainly for Georgia fans who want to believe that maybe there's a better quarterback out there on the base of what happened against Alabama on Saturday, you did not get much evidence of that from Smart here over the weekend, or should say when he spoke yesterday. And that's at least worth considering. Something else that's worth you considering. My friends at MyBookie, you know, it's winning season at MyBookie, so when you find them online, just type the word MyBookie into your browser, use the promo code DOGNATION. You can get a big first deposit bonus, $1,000, your first deposit doubled. Then after that, you play, you win, you get paid, but you're essentially a winner before it even begins when you use the promo code DOGNATION. So make sure you find MyBookie online, just type into your browser, use the promo code DOGNATION, then enjoy a big first deposit bonus with our friends at MyBookie. So we'll obviously continue to follow this and see. You know, I think for many people, this kind of ends up being a little bit of an unsatisfying conversation. People think I'm just carrying George's water when I say that I think that Bennett's actually played pretty well. People think I'm being a little too rose-colored. What's the phrase that the message board folks use? A Disney dog? People think I'm just being a Disney dog if I say Bennett's done pretty well. But the honest truth is I think I'm being a little more realistic than other people are. Georgia would have already lost before Saturday had Stetson Bennett not been the starting quarterback. I think that the Arkansas game was imminently losable. I think the Tennessee game, when the base is the way it started, may have been losable there as well. Stetson Bennett saved you. Stetson Bennett may give you a chance to win the SEC East, and who knows when we'll ever see JT Daniels. I do know this. Gator Hater Updater, 1,453 days. We will see you tomorrow, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort.